for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, October the 28th, 2010. Vito Rolla is a speaker of this service teaching on Assault on the Church.
All right, for most of you, you know that I'm out of the box by now. And if you don't know it, well, tonight I'll prove it. I didn't bring my groceries tonight. I brought something else, so not my lunch either. So we'll get into that in just a moment, and hopefully you'll get the idea once we get moving. You know, it's a sad state that a very small minority in this country can override the majority. And I'm often very saddened when I hear about churches that come out against certain things, and then the media picks up on it, and the enemy makes sure that that the church is attacked, whether it's a small church or a large church. As in Canada, there's certain things that we can talk about, or they can talk about, and certain things that they can't, and they consider it hate crime if we talk about truth. And I believe that same hate crime is going to be established on a higher level in this country, so that we're going to be muzzled if they can. Well, my opinion is, on being muzzled, they're going to have to catch me. They're going to have to stop me. You know, I think people fear the consequences of speaking the truth. But as I've shared earlier, the truth is what sets us free. And we're living in a time that if the truth is not proclaimed, a lie will prevail. Sin will win. And so as God is beginning to do something in our lives, and especially through what He's doing in these kinds of ministries, bringing forth deliverance, there is a season of change that must take place. And that season, I believe, is right now. Over the years, I sat under such great speakers as Don Basham, Derek Prince, and others, and they scared the bejeebas out of me. I didn't understand what they were doing. I didn't believe there was a necessity to do the things that they were doing. I thought once you were saved, that was it. But we found out over the years that so many things have captured so many Christians, and no one has the answer to setting them free except people like you and I. You are the ones, and myself included, that are going to bring the message of deliverance. The message of deliverance started coming to pass somewhere around the 40s and 50s in the form that it was brought forth. But it has changed. And over the years, we're seeing different methods applied. We're seeing the psychology that's brought into it. And we are seeing a season now where it has changed dramatically and still trying to be changed. And all of those things are good. And I shared with you the other night about the cookie cutter. As ministers are being trained in theology and ways of ministering the gospel, many of them don't have a clue what deliverance is all about. Amen. They're being trained with methods. They're being trained in such a way that each one, you can go to each minister's church, if they have a church, and you can see the same thing over and over. You can count on it. You can bet on it, if you're a betting person, that we're going to do this way, this that way. And so the cookie cutter method is not new. It's been going on for a couple of hundred years, but especially in the last say 50, 60, 70 years, it's really expanded as ministers are setting up campuses and like Oral Roberts and many others. I won't go into detail on that. I want to get right to the point. Ministry is going to change again. There's going to be a progression because the enemy is changing. his tactics. And even though he's still using some of the same methods that he used 6,000 years ago, he is modifying and changing. And some of us now are experiencing things that we've never seen or experienced before. And we're trying to figure out how to keep up with what he is doing and how he is doing it. So a change is going to take place. I believe there's going to be an escalation and a quick turnaround in all that we've been doing over the past few years. For those of us that have been in the ministry, we're going to see a change. We have to be ready for that change. I believe that Jesus operated one way, his disciples operated basically the same way, but that began to change. It took time for that change to happen. But we're living in a season right now that everything is moving exponentially. It's moving very quickly. I can feel it. You know, I can feel things that I thought would never happen 5 years ago or even 2 years ago, a year ago, is now in place.
Yeah.
And so here we are. We're in a place that we have to recognize where we are and then recognize where we're going. There has to be a revolution, because the enemy is stirring up a revolution in his camp and bringing people to a place where the Christian church, are believing and accepting what the enemy is dumping on them, and they have no idea of the stink that's in their living rooms. We see it all the time. We see the manipulation in the churches, and I know some of you do. Not all churches, but we need to get the hell out of church. Hell's being brought in a basket. And people are going to hell in a handbasket. It's okay if I say hell?
Yes.
Because that's what it is. And so I want to share some things with you tonight. I want to capitalize what I had started on Wednesday, I guess it was. Yeah, kind of got lost in the scheme of everything that was going on. There's so much going on here, and I thank God for Glenn and for the leaders and for the teachers, the things that you brought forth. It's been excellent. And I just think that it's going to improve as we grow. They say as you get older, you improve.
Yes.
At least I hope we do. We don't want to be pickled. And stay in a jar to ourselves. So God is doing a marvelous thing today, and I just believe with all of my heart that we're going to grow in such a way that the things that we thought we were going to do in the future, we're going to do them very quickly. Because as it's changing, we must change with the time. Now, I'm not saying change our faith or change how we do things all the time, but it will change. Jesus was a history maker. He was a changer. And I know that God is going to use most of us in here to be a history maker and a changer of things that have been dumped on us. So we're going to do some things, but I'm going to just do a recap before I pray. We're going to do a recap on Romans 6:6, and it says that in Romans 6:6, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to skim over it. It says that we once served sin as unbelievers. And now the question that I have asked Wednesday night was, can we still serve sin as a born-again believer? And what was your answer? Can we still serve sin as a believer? Oh, Father, I pray you remove confusion from this place in Jesus' name. I bind you up. I cast you out. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, send down those angels right now. Watch over us. Keep us safe. Watch over our minds. Release us to do what you've called us to do. Well, but some of the reasons, I guess I never got to that point, but some of the reasons that people serve sin before and after their experience with the Lord can be varied. Sin patterns that were controlled by strongholds and generational curses are still operating in Christians' lives. Did you know that? I know you do, because you've been casting them all out and breaking them, so I know you know. That's a rhetorical question. So, by their own choices of dabbling or even exploring sin, they become involved in a stronghold. We all know that. It can grab a hold of us and bring us to that place that we don't want to be. Sin will be influenced by our old nature. Remember I said our old nature is the old man, and the old man can be risen again, you know, like Lazarus. It can become alive in our lives, and we don't even realize it until after the effects take place in our lives. Okay, yeah, I think you all get that now. I want to say this, that sin feels good. Hello, are we here tonight? Sin feels good. And as Carla said, she says, yeah, at least in the beginning, it feels all right. Yeah. Until you wake up and you got an addiction or you've got some stronghold, then it doesn't feel so good because now we got a problem. Most believers know that when they're sinning, they're sinning. Huh? Come on. You can answer. Yeah. It's audience participation, church. Yeah. Talk to me. I like to be talked back to. Well, not sassy, but I do like to be talked back to. But for the most part, most people know when they're free as well. Did you know that? Okay, so if we've sinned, I got plenty of time tonight, don't I? Keep it rolling, keep it rolling. And so we know when we sin and we know when we're free. How many know when you're free? Because I look out here now and I see a lot of free people. Yeah. Listen, man, I'm telling you what, you came in here, you had so much stuff on your face, you were sourpuss, you were dark, and I'm not talking about your skin either, and your suntan, I'm talking about you came in and you had so much junk on you, and when the baggage was lifted off, you began to come free. See, baggage holds you down.
Yeah.
I'm glad you agree with me. But you know that sin, when we perform that act or do that thing, whichever way you want to look at it or approach it, the consequences of that sin and action is not good. It doesn't feel good any longer once you have it. And so when sin approaches and when sin is accepted and aligned with, we have to know when that happens. And I think all of us here know when it happens. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. I'd like to see the yeses and the amens, and I want to know that you're alive. And we're going to talk about being alive here in a moment. Some of the discussions I think that we have been learning was that sin can be in the mind, it can affect the soul, but it also affects the physical part of our bodies, right?
Yeah.
Give me something, something. Yeah. Just give me something.
Yeah.
Keep me going up here, please. I want you to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. This will get better as we go along. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That one amen. I like that. I live off of amens. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. and Jesus, he described how this can happen in anyone's life. You know, when Jesus was, you know, when it's in the red, pay attention. You know, I mean, if you don't pay attention to anything else, pay attention to the red, or you'll be dead. I'm messing with this thing is rolling in my mind, and I'm wanting to get it out, but I have to be careful. New things, old things. So if you want to take notes on this, I'm not a teacher like Bo and Carla and Jerry. And okay, I take it back. Rewind, you got it. Some of you thought I was having a manifestation. But let's look at what Jesus said. It was rather interesting. Jesus liked to break the molds. That's why I like him. I like to break the molds. You have heard, verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old things, you shall not commit adultery. Doesn't it say that? Yes. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Pretty interesting, isn't it? That's the new thing. The new thing is that he broke the rules, the religious rules of that day. Because you know the Pharisees and Sadducees were not going to come up with this idea. It was a new idea. So, as we begin to move forward, I pray, Father, that your grace and your mercy surrounds this place. Father, you are the deliverer. And Father, you have brought us to a place. Some have traveled the hard road to be changed. Others are just starting to experience it. Father, I pray that you would open the ears, that you would open the mind, and that, Lord, that you would give us the freedom to float in your grace, and that your Holy Spirit will minister to us and the needs that we might have. I pray, Father, that your anointing will rest upon what we do the rest of this camp meeting, as it has in the past, and that there will be no interference at all from the enemy, no confusion. And Father, that I know that we can trust you, because if we can't trust you, who can we trust? I pray, Father, that you would see to it, that Lord, that every need is met here. Yes. Father, we can't make things happen, but we can ask. He says, you have not, because you ask not. And so, Father, tonight, release us into a greater understanding. Yes. Raise us to another level. Move us into that dimension, so that we can understand all that you're doing in this day and all that you'll be doing in the future. Father, equip your saints, your sons and your daughter. Equip us, Father, to move forward and do that work the way that you want it done. Lord, if you change our hearts, then you'll change our ways. That, Lord, as you're filling us with your Spirit, that, Lord, we'll grow in that anointing that you so much want to grow us in. Like a child that's being fed, you want to feed us and raise us up. So, Father, tonight we thank you for what we're experiencing, what we're going to experience. And we do, Father, give you thanks. In your dear Son Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to one of my favorite chapters, Genesis. In the beginning. I'll wait till you get there. Honey, would you roll that water over to me, please? Or bring it over, one or the other. You know, the Lord created man in his image. He gave us a body, even though we don't look at that as in his image, but it is in his image. If he said it, I believe it. And he did something else. He gave us authority. He did that through Adam and Eve. And in that process, he gave us dominion and authority. And then he did something very interesting. He gave us authority over creeps. Oh, you don't believe it? Yeah, I don't think you believe it. So I've got to show you. He said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion, that is, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we've been dealing with creeps all week long. Some of you may have allowed creeps to get in, didn't know they were in. Some of you have creeps that you never got rid of. But hopefully, through these sessions, you've gotten rid of most of them, and as God begins to work in and through you by His Holy Spirit, that you'll get the freedom that you need, that you get a wake-up call. In other words, you get a revelation of what God's Word says. It's a marvelous Word. And in Genesis 3, are you there? Okay. I know this is very basics, but if we don't get back and understand the basics, how are we going to understand more evolved and more complicated issues if the Spirit of God is not revealing that to us? So I want to share this since I have plenty of time. Ain't going anywhere until tomorrow. We've got all night if necessary, but we're going to get through it. And hopefully I don't keep you here more than 15 minutes. Not! Um, Now let's look at chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, or he spoke. I'm reading out of the New King James. I still haven't learned to speak Elizabethan. And so I'm just saying, I have problems with this, thou, and those. My lips don't perform the words. So please forgive me. Now you don't have to forgive me, because if you forgive me, thank you, Carla. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman, she answered. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, she already began to add some words. You know, when you're talking to a woman, they add more words than are there sometimes. And so she added a word, touch. Do you see that? That wasn't what Adam gave her instructions on. And so she was instructed by Adam. It wasn't that she didn't know what was going on, and she couldn't answer it here. Do you see that? She couldn't have answered the questions that were given her. So she had to know. She had some knowledge of it. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Eyes are open. Open eyes. The gateway to the mind. We're not talking, they weren't blind. And some people take that literally. Well, they were blind, then he gave them sight. I was once blind, now I see. You know, we sing that song. So they were given sight, a vision, an ability to be able to see things and understand things in a different way once they partook of that fruit. So when the woman saw that the tree was good, she had seen it there before, by the way. It wasn't a secret. It didn't just appear. She saw it there before. It was there. It was always there. We see things. We know they're there. They didn't suddenly pop up and say, oh, here I am. Things that we see, that we understand, are there. And he goes on to say that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of it, ate it, and then she gave it to her husband, and her husband ate it, and now we're in trouble. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard, this is where it gets interesting, this is called divine interrogation, questioning. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was like the other morning, we were walking in the woods in the cool of the day. It was great. We love to walk in the cool of the day. And often as we're walking, whether it's in a garden or wherever it's at, we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. It's a quiet time. We pray. We walk. We enjoy nature. We enjoy the health and everything that God has given us. We're thankful. And then we talk to the Lord. And sometimes we shut up long enough to hear what He's saying, what He wants to communicate with us. So it's a good time in the cool of the day, because in Florida, you certainly don't want to walk in the heat of the day. And so Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, come on. You know that God knew where they were. You know that. So what he was saying to them was, in essence, I know you got something you're hiding. There's something going on. In other words, God wanted them to fess up. That's what he wanted to do. And then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? What is your secret, Adam? What's going on? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And then the man said, hey, the woman who you gave me, hey, that woman, she gave it to me and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this? You're getting it. You're getting, he's passing the buck. And here comes the other buck. Here comes the other buck. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate. The serpent made me do it." No. Neither of them were made to do anything. It was their choice. The first man and woman here that was recorded in the Bible, which was Adam and Eve, they learned the consequences of that one wrong choice. And now we're reaping of that one choice. Did you know that? Sure you did. I'm just doing it for conversation. I know that. But the interesting part here was that they had to learn by experience what was wrong. And this is what the devil did. He couldn't make them sin. So he had to do something else. He had to work on their five senses. Are you getting this? Okay. What are the five senses? Sight, hearing, speech, smell. Okay. Speech and touch. He worked on all of them. He used the eye gate. He used the hearing gate. He used the taste gate. He used all those things. And so he had to use something other than just appearing to them in the garden. You'll get it. All of these issues were the senses that Satan knew how to get around. And the power of the spoken word, which we've all learned that in Deuteronomy and other places, Jesus even spoke of it, that the spoken word can be for good or it can be for evil. It says in Deuteronomy that life and death are in the power of the word. In James, it talks about that we can bless or curse. There's so many descriptions of what the mouth does. And also speaking of that the mouth is something that that is used by the enemy, as the enemy, as you know, will use our tongue to do things and speak things to us that we didn't understand. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Adam and Eve fell because they listened to the voice. And once they disobeyed, they became acquainted and experienced with the consequences and the effects of sin. It became a part of human history from that point on. I often sit back and I wonder, what if Adam and Eve had not sinned? What if? Have you ever thought about that? What if? I'm going to talk to Adam when I get there. But I didn't choose this life. God chose this life for us. We're born in this season, in this time in history. We could have been born before the flood, but we weren't. We could have been born during the Roman era, and all of us would have been probably tortured, crucified, or whatever would have happened by that time. And so, an interesting thing that I thought about as I was walking in the woods. I need a volunteer. Brother, let me use you as a volunteer. Come on. I like to select my own volunteers. Okay, Bo, may I have you come up here, please? Oops. Okay, here we are. These are acorns, if he can see. These are acorns, and you know where acorns come from, right? They come from trees. Okay, now, these acorns are, let's see. Oh, they are Arkansas acorns. See them? You're all going to get one. Would you pass out the Arkansas acorns? Okay. And for you, I would like for you to pass out the Missouri acorns. Listen, be sparingly with those. And make sure you get one. Each person gets one, and then they get one of the other. So when you got two, I want you to hold them in your hands, just like this. It's an object lesson. Pass them out. Pass them out. Don't eat them. Don't snack on them. They're pretty bitter. Yeah, the only way you can eat an acorn, this is a little bit off the course that I'm going. If you boil an acorn, you can eat them and you can survive on them in the woods. Okay, I need one more volunteer. Hey, brother, come on up. Yeah, both of you guys, come on, you too. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay, and I want you to, would you pass out one of these acorns? These are little bitty acorns. Okay, Now, some of you are experiencing something in your acorn. If you look at it, if you look at it carefully, some of them have got little roots coming out of them. Do you see that? Okay, if you don't see it, look at your neighbor. And if she doesn't have it or he doesn't have it, look to the other neighbor. Okay. And brother, I want you to do this. Brother Glenn, I took some of your marbles. So if you've lost your marbles, I got them. Okay. Now, did y'all pass those out? Does everyone, you should have three acorns. Okay, where's the little one? The little guys are over there. They're coming your way. The little acorns. Have you got one? You got a Missouri one and an Arkansas one?
I don't have a Missouri
one. Okay, this is a Missouri one here. Okay? This one's a little damp. You can see the little things coming out of the side. Yeah, take one of those, man. It's really important that you have these acorns. Who doesn't have one? Which one?
He doesn't have a Missouri
one. Oh, a Missouri one. Here, you pick and choose. Choose your acorn.
Amen.
Okay, now do you all have three acorns, right? Okay, we can seal those up. We can put those there. Okay, thank you, Bo. Okay, really appreciate your help. Okay, now does everybody have their acorns? You all should have three. One Missouri one Arkansas one, and one little one probably came from a couple of places, but we'll just call it another little Arkansas one. Okay, now did you pass out that marble? You gotta see the marble.
Okay.
You gotta have the marble. I don't want you to lose your marbles. Okay. Okay. If you got yours, brother, take it, man. They're free. You can have them. Take them home. You'll be able to grow trees. Mm-hmm. Have you all got them? Come on, let's pass them out. We don't have all night. Have you got your marbles now? Which one are you getting? That's a little one. Okay. Oh, there's another little one. Grab it. Okay. Okay, boy, this is really church, isn't it? For any religious spirit, forget it. If you are in my presence, we're going to change things. Did everyone get a marble? Who didn't get a marble? Oh, you lost your marbles. Okay. Does anyone else need a marble? Okay. Hon, you come up here and get your... Oh, hon. Not you, hon. That hon. I thought that hon was raising her hand. I don't call guys hon unless they're 3 years old. Okay. Now, y'all know what these are? Let's see. No, these are not for you. They're for me. I just brought them along. Later, much later, after I have my share of them, then you can have one. Those are pretty good. Wow. I like jelly beans. Wow. Now that you have your acorns, your marbles, I want to share something with you as you're holding them. In verse 11 of Genesis 3, the Lord asked them, who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you? I want that to sink in. And I'll explain who in a minute. But what I do want to say that when the question came, who told you that you were naked? Who is not you? I'm going to say it again. Who is not you? Who is what we're dealing with? Who has a spiritual body? And I know that Jim alluded to that. That who has a physical, spiritual body? Any way that you, in that dimension, it's a body. They're not just vapors floating around. They have a body. And that body needs a place to go and do its thing. So that body has a purpose, has a function, has an agenda, to get us to come under its power, its DNA. I want you to look at your acorn. Well, look at the one that's, whatever. If you've got a root coming out of it, there's no problem if you see it coming out. Some of you have little caps on, little kitty caps on. Don't worry, it's an acorn. It's not an acorn with a hat on. And so as you look at it, yeah, you got one, that's good. As you look at that, that acorn is absolutely useless if it lands on concrete. If it lands on or in an area like this part of Arkansas that has all rocks, it will not achieve its purpose. It will not achieve it. Now, there's the other one that has a little root coming out of it. Look, a cute little root coming out. You see that? Okay, that cute little root got a root because it had moisture. And when I looked at that, when the Lord began to show me example of an acorn has everything it needs to reproduce after its kind. The DNA of its purpose is in there. And each acorn, whether it's a small one or a long one, the little one, will produce either a white oak, a black oak, or whatever kind of oak that it was designed to do. It had a purpose. It had a design. It had all the DNA in it to bring you to, or bring it to, a tree. I like that tree back there, that rejection tree. Kind of reminded me of this as I was thinking about what I was going to share with you tonight. So, that DNA has a strong hold, a way to enter the ground. If it's not watered in the right soil, it'll die. Or something will eat it, like rabbits. Not rabbits, they don't have those kinds of teeth, but squirrels, chipmunks, deer, even turkey will eat it. For those of you that are woodsmen, you know that that's what they eat. That's why some of the meat tastes, wow, really strong, because of the acid that's in the acorn. But when that stronghold begins to grip the ground, the roots go down first before we see anything else. We see the roots that are going down. And now, the strange thing about that is you can't see the roots. I had to pry these from the ground, those that have roots in them. They were going to establish in someone's front yard or lawn or wherever it might be. But they had to be watered. There had to be moisture for that to take place. In other words, it had to have a place to develop. And once that acorn sends down its roots, it's going to begin to grow. And what we see on top is only a small part of what is actually a part of that. And the roots go down. The roots are deep. If you take an acorn, I mean, you take a tree that's already started, and you cut that tree off, it still will come up in some form. We must get to the roots. If we don't dig up the roots, the strongholds, the things that have been planted by the enemy, sooner or later it will pop up. Are you getting this? So each time you think about doing something or you want to know something about sin, look at the acorn. And the acorn will tell you volumes because the DNA of what it can do is in it. Are y'all getting it? What am I doing? So think about the acorn every time. And then I want to show you something else in Genesis 4:6. So just to confirm what I just said. You know, the Lord's talking to Cain. See, he's still communicating. They hadn't gotten to the place where they were really, really bad. They just had sin going through their lives. And we know there's a lot of sin. A lot of acorns dropped into life. Huh? They had a landing place. A landing place in their life. And so God was still communicating with the sons of Adam and Eve. And something happened. Cain was, he got angry. His countenance fell. And he just didn't want to do rebellion or whatever he was doing. It started setting in. And God had to make a correction there, but he didn't listen. Watch. So, verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." Sin lies at the door. Sin is a being wanting to get you to do what it wants you to do, what it's been designed to do, to bring you to a place that you'll become under that sin and commit exactly what it wants us to commit. Are y'all getting this? And so, when you obey, you have to remember that sin is all around us. And I remember, it's camping, if you will. It's there. How they do it, I don't know. All I know is what the Word says. Sin is around us. It camps around us. So when sin is knocking at your door, You don't have to let it in. We oftentimes we think, well, we're being tempted, and well, I'm going through this, and well, this problem, and I got these sexual desires, and all of a sudden, who do you think is giving you that idea? Who told you? Sin is a being, and it's at your door. Are you getting this? Okay, I just want to be sure. I want to be sure. I don't want to rush through this part. I shared earlier. You know when sin's knocking at your door. And if not, why not? What's the blockage? What's happening that you don't know when sin's knocking and saying, let me in, let me in. Well, that was a song, let me in, lover, or something like that, old secular song. Let me in. Well, I wouldn't think you would, but that's okay. So the question really arises is that, whose voice are you listening to? You know, I did some classes, actually a number of classes. I did several seminars. They were 12-week seminars, and it was local. We didn't travel on this because of the time. I guess we could do it in a week's time or so, but it's rather difficult. There are many voices in the world. There's God's voice. You heard God's voice, didn't you? I hope so. If you're in this group and you're saved, you're born again, you heard God's voice. And I know you heard the devil's voice. We know the voice. But we fail to truly recognize every single voice that we hear. You have a voice. I have a voice. And so whose voice are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to God. But do you listen to God all the time? Okay. You said it. I didn't. I try. But we were starting to train people that they can learn to hear the voice of the Lord. Some people have become believers and they don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord. To distinguish the difference between God's voice, the devil's voice, their own voice, somebody else's voice. They just listen to any voice that comes their way. So learning to hear the voice of the Lord. If we're not hearing the voice of the Lord, how are we going to be obedient? We have to walk in obedience. And when the Lord is saying, don't do it, we need not do it. Because then we're going against the voice of the Lord. You know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so we did a whole seminar teaching people on the prophetic. How they can hear the voice of the Lord. How they can stretch. Allow the Lord to operate through them. Allow the Lord to speak through them. Use them as a vehicle. Because we're told to do that. Did you know it? We're told to use the gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. We see the gifts starting from verse 4. And that when the Lord gives us that gift is done under the anointing. It's something we can't manufacture and do just because we want it. But it says that we're to desire the best gift, prophecy. I want to say something to you. The day is coming when people will be delivered by a word.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You're not going to have time. How are you going to walk into churches or walk into places and deliver people and say, well, now we're going to sit. I want you to cough it up, spit it up. I want you to do this or I want you to do that. You're not going to get their attention. You're going to run them out. But if you walk up and the anointing falls on you, you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit in you out. I know that Jesus didn't say, well, in the name of me, I command you to go. But he's given us that authority to operate in that power.
Yeah.
I think this is going to get good tonight. I've got you trained. I'm just kidding. You know that. So whose voice are we following? Really? Whose voice are we hearing? Whose voice are we obeying? But how is it done? Oh my, how is it done? Remember the acorn? Hey, little acorn. Every time you look at that acorn, you're going to say, all right, I heard what Neil said. What about the acorn? The acorn is a source that can speak and go into our system. A curse without cause, not a light, unless it has a reason and the ability to do that. A legal right. We've had to do something to have the cause and effect. We had to sow in order to reap. We don't just reap for nothing. Some of you have been reaping in your lives. I reaped in my life. I didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. And I reaped greatly. But I thank God that through that reaping, I was trained by righteousness and I wasn't trained by sin. Sin tutors us. Sin trains us, and we begin to do what it wants to do. When it becomes a stronghold in our life, then we're saying, what happened? How come I'm addicted? How come I can't stop looking at porn? How come I can't do this? How come I'm lusting after flesh? How come I'm doing this and how come I'm doing that? We got the how comes. You know what? After these meetings, you're without excuse.
All right now.
You're without excuse. We've had great teaching the whole time. Great. I love Bo and his teaching. I love Jim and Colin and Jerry. But the only problem is I wasn't here to listen to you. And so I know that I'm going to get the DVD or the tape or whatever you have to make myself acquainted to what your message was all about. I think that we're at the place right now that we have to remember that the church is under assault. Great assault. Now, you may be in a community that you don't recognize it, but that little community that was on the news tonight, they know it. I mean, they're not surprised by what happened. I mean, you got some of the other kooks out there that get on the news and say the things they're going to do, and they want national attention, and they're just kooks. As far as I'm concerned, they need deliverance. They need to understand what they're doing. We understand. This group understands what you're doing. If not, understand. But as the enemy is becoming sophisticated with modern weapons and strategies, he uses these methods and strategies in ways that we have never seen before. Now, I've been watching this now for the past few years of how this is invading the church. And you know, we are the ecclesia. We are the church. So whether it's in a building or whether it's individual lives, we're watching how he is using strategies. You know what? People, I hear people say this all the time. Well, that stupid devil, he doesn't know nothing. He's not going to touch me. I got news for you. I got news. He's called a worthy adversary. And so if the angels just rebuked him and couldn't do anything else, the Lord rebuke you, then what makes us think that we've got the authority to say things to Satan and bind him up? I hear people all the time say, well, they're going to bind Satan. You bind the demons that he has under his control. So this crazy stuff, they call him names, split hoof, split tongue, slew foot. You know, I mean, it's a mockery. He's a worthy adversary. He was one of the archangels. Remember? He's a genius, a very strong intellectual. I told you that the other night. He's powerful, but we shouldn't be afraid of him. But we should know what we're up against. Some people deal with these things that they're casting out and have no clue what they're dealing out. Okay, let's move on. Satan was smart enough to use that serpent. Did you notice something? The devil, he did not speak directly to the couple that was in the garden. Did you notice that? He needed a serpent. He needed a source to speak to them. And oftentimes we have seen the enemy use people to speak to us. I think you're getting this. Why couldn't he speak directly to Eve? I believe it's because he couldn't speak directly until Adam abdicated his authority. Adam and Eve were perfect. They were pure. They were untouchables. And their souls were off limits. That means their mind, will, and emotion. So he needed a deception to begin to enter that area. Some of you may not agree with this, but that's okay. This is what I'm seeing here. That he needed a method, a deception was used to get to them, and it took deceiving them. But once that door was open, all mankind would be vulnerable to the wiles of the devil. Do we know that? Sure we do. And no one was exempt. Once again, in verse 11 in Adam, it says, in Genesis, it says, who told you? Who told you? Who told you you could get by with this? Or who told you you can do the things that you're doing that are against God's word? You already knew. You knew they were wrong, so why'd you do it? You knew it was going to open a door. And if you didn't know, you were deceived. Adam and Eve were deceived. They didn't know it was opening a door. They didn't know. They thought they'd never experienced this before. But you have. You have experienced what it means to open the door to your lives and allow the enemy in. The enemy speaks to us through thoughts. He plants ideas. Or we are influenced by many of his flavors. Did you know that? Our thoughts are influenced. And he does it through the first person. Are you getting this? He does. See, he's a tricky guy. I know about him. But he speaks to us through the first person. And that he makes you believe it's your thought, your idea. Oh, I would like to do this. Or I would like to go out and spend money on things that I enjoy. So he gives you a spend demon. Or he might tell you that you really need that food. Or your idea is that, oh, I'm just hungry for Hungry Jack's pizza or for that ice cream that I don't need. So you see what I'm saying? He puts it in first person and you don't even know that it's a spirit that's speaking to you. So what he's doing is it. It is speaking to your mind because he now has a right. He now has an opening. Unregenerate man, he had easy access. And when we become Christians, we often still have easy access. And that the enemy can speak to us and convince us, influence, that this is what we need. Boy, I'm looking at that woman. She really looks good. Who do you think is telling you that? Come on, think about it. Who is telling you? Who? It. It is telling you. It is the acorn. It is laying on your life, trying to enter in. It's trying to establish a stronghold in your life. Are you getting this? I know you are. I know you are. So, as I shared earlier, that sin is a being, it's a demonic monster, and it's well trained to do its job. I'm going to say something to you. Demons have been around for a long time. We don't know how long they've been around, but all I know is they got a whole lot more experience that we've got. And so they're there. They're able to influence in ways we can't even imagine. And that's why we need discernment. To know and understand and make sure that he doesn't get into your life, nor does he stay in our lives. Did you know that demons have exousia power? Did you know that? They have power. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, some of you are saying, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, they have power. They can do things, say things, and convince us in ways that we can't even understand. But you know what? A demon can't jump on us and do something or make us do something unless we've got an opening, unless there's a reason why they can come in. They'll be saying, I got demons in my life and I still got to get rid of them. Get rid of them. Don't let them hang out in your house. Remove them. The moment that you begin to confess that, guess what? You got a legal right. They can come in. Oh, okay, he said, I'm okay, I can come in. And they're there. They'll torment you. They'll make you believe lies. They'll make you think things that you can't even imagine. Well, maybe you can't imagine because some of you have come out of those unimaginable things. So he's there. And so, it's desirous to occupy our thoughts. Wants us to accept its offering, come into alignment with its function and with its purpose. Its DNA is to train us. Its DNA is to train us. Sin trains us. Sin becomes a tutor. You know, I haven't talked about sin so much in a church so much as I have here. And you know, most preachers won't talk about sin. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. Well, because you have to understand, you know, if you don't, what you're up against. Sin needs to be confronted. It needs to be exposed for what it is. Expose the works of the enemy. Don't hide it and think that it'll go away. It won't go away. It's got a place it wants to land. It's got a place it wants to convince you to do its bidding. Remember, just as you looked at the roots and the explanation of what the acorn does, that the conditions have to be right. It's not just going to land and say, I'm in like plant. It's not going to do it. It can't do it. It has to have an opening, a door, a legal right, if you will, in order to enter in. Okay, now, thoughts come through what? Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Where do thoughts enter your body? Okay, we got it. What's the mind connected to? The heart. Okay. Yeah, that's part of it. It's the soul, right? The soul is a tripart, okay? The soul, we wrote about in the book. We wrote about in the book about the soul, what it is. We got a revelation of that. Some may or may not agree, but that's okay. That's okay. We write what the Lord gives us. And the soul is tripart. And the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. Okay? And when we hear of heart, that's the command center of the soul. Command center is here. That's why we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart. Because if we confess with our mouth and we believe with our emotions, nothing happens. If we confess with our mouth and only with our will, it's intellectual assent. It becomes a part of our life, but it's not, the salvation there is parceled out, if you will. Are you getting this? So it's a tripart of our being. We have a soul, we have a body, and we have a spirit. Spirit is the communication between God and us. It's rejuvenated. It's given the access to us when it's enlightened so that it will speak the words of God into our life. You know, we can't get saved unless we hear from God. How does he get there? By the Spirit, right? And the Spirit which came to God, came from God, it's going back to God. Huh? Are we getting that? And so the Spirit is the communication. It's like a satellite, and it's being beamed down by the Lord, and he's speaking through that satellite, giving us knowledge through the Spirit. But the soul is the one that's going to have to come under subjection. The Spirit's already there. That's why the Word says that God knew us before we came here. He knew the Spirit we're going to have. Some of you may have never heard this before. I didn't hear it before. I used to teach some things that I had to change in my life. And that's why there's a progression. As the enemy is progressing in the things that he's doing, we're going to have to progress in the things that God is showing us. And then move into operation of those things and know that God's going to back us up.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said the enemy has excusia power. But if we weren't going to need something to counter that, we were going to be in real trouble. And so what did he give us? He gave us dunamis power. You're all filled of dunamis. And that dunamis is much greater than excusia. And so if we were not going to need power to come against him, listen, without your dunamis power, you're not casting out demons. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are we seeing this? Okay, there's more to just casting out demons. We have to know what we're up against. Anybody that's a Christian can cast out a demon. You know, even the exorcist, you know, the seven sons of Sceva? He was a Jewish exorcist. Did you know that? And then they tried to do what they'd seen done, and that demon rose up and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Has that demon questioned you? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Come on. Are you getting this? I know you are. I hate to keep saying that you're getting this, but I don't see heads move. It's like they went into plaster mode. And they don't move. No expressions. But I'm not going to believe your lying expression. So thoughts. Who told you you were afraid? Who told you you were lonely? Who told you? You'll remember that word, because once I heard it, I will never forget who told you. And I will never forget that sin lies at my door. I will never forget those things. I'll never forget, with the grace of God, that I'm tempted by who told you, who's camping at my door. I'm very conscious of it. For those of you that might think that, well, you know, I'm always going to struggle. You always struggle. You just confessed it. Demon standing by and say, yes, I got a struggler. I had a pastor once in a church, a very large church. Actually, the church Joyce Myers came out of. We were part of that church. And this pastor who'd just fallen. 6 months earlier, they put him in the pulpit. And he gets up and he says, we're all going to struggle. Maybe you, but not me. I'm not going to accept those words, nor should you. You're never going to struggle. Some of the people that are delivered are told that, well, you're going to struggle. No, they're not. They should not believe that word. Who told you you're going to struggle? Who was speaking through that man who just fell in adultery? Who told you? You know, 2 Corinthians 10:4. Would somebody read that? Do we have an extra mic running around here? 2 Corinthians 10:4. Whoever's got it first, tell me, as long as I can understand. Who's got it? Somebody got it? 10:4. 10:4. Okay, read it.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
What are they?
Mighty.
Mighty. Our weapons are mighty. Start thinking mighty. Start thinking dunamis. Start thinking the way God wants us to think. And stop thinking like a bunch of poor paupers. Like our powers. Oh, I only got a firecracker over here. So I only do so much. Oh, you do firecracker deliverance. Okay, so what does it say? Read on.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God,
yes,
and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
What's happened in that scripture? What's happened there? What's happened? Read it again, that last part. Read it what it says, and I'll stop you.
Bringing into captivity every thought.
Taking every thought captive. Every thought that the enemy is laying on us, take it captive.
Yes.
If we couldn't do it, we would be told that bumbling spirit, I am. that the spirit can be taken captive. The spirit that's behind that thought. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Obedience. Wow, there's a strange word.
Yeah.
Obedience. Well, we're going to talk about obedience later. Go ahead.
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
What does that mean? Tell me, sister, what does that mean?
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you are obedient to God, then you are in a position to revenge all disobedience within yourself if you bring your thoughts into captivity.
Where is it at?
It's up in your mind.
It's within ourselves.
It's within ourselves.
So we have a power and authority in ourselves.
Yes.
So why are we running around trying to get somebody to cast something out of us unless you really need it? Why are we running around trying to get that to happen? He's given us that authority. And so we should be using that authority on ourselves. If you're in where? Alaska. Where does he come from? Juno? Where? Alaska. You're up in Juno. And you get this temptation. You're up there in your shorts getting bit by flies and mosquitoes. Yeah, I know about Alaska. And so you're up there and you're getting bit. And all of a sudden the enemy's coming at you with all these thoughts. And if you're not taking those thoughts captive, who are you going to run to? To the bears? Yeah. That's right, the bears. Oh, that wolverine that's over there eyeing your flesh. So, you see, we have to be in a place, and I know it's important that we work with people that are still immature, that don't know how to do that thing, but it's more important for us that we learn to do it in our own lives. Self-deliverance. I know Norm Parrish, he wrote a book. I don't know what the name of it is. I know he signed it for me. And deliver thyself. Didn't he say that? He said, deliver thyself. So every time you get a thought, deliver thyself. I don't receive those words. I don't receive that temptation. I'm not going to let an acorn land in my life. I'm not going to let it send down roots in me. You see, you can speak to the mountain. Some of you are speaking to molehills and can't move them. And you're asking God to do it for you. We have the authority. What I'm sharing with you is that you have the ability. You have to take the bull by the horns. And you have to say, no more, no more am I going to deal with lust. No more am I going to deal with frustration. No more am I going to deal with worry. No more am I going to come under the pressures and the things of the world. No more am I going to believe that I'm in poverty. No more am I going to deal with things that the enemy has placed on the lives of so many believers. Believers are believing like the world and living like the world, Jerry says. Instead of becoming strong and bold, fear. Fear was the weapon that entered in when they sinned. And you know, we should fear God, but not the enemy. And fear also means reverential awe to God. Not that we can't go to daddy because we fear daddy. Some of you maybe never grown up with a daddy. I know my wife and I, we had daddies that created us and we had daddies that were there, but we never learned from our daddies. But Jesus said, I'll send the helper and he will teach you. Some of you need a comforting word that that your daddy is there for you, that any time, day or night, that you can crawl up into his lap. That you can ask him, Father, please remove these things, help me. And Lord, I know that you've given me the ability, you've given me the authority. And Lord, I know that I can do it. Just help me, encourage me, and watch Daddy help you. Oh, daddies. And that's the other thing. We need more fathers and mothers in the church. Yeah. More fathers and mothers that will help train up. I was there in body only. My father was there in body only. So was Pat's father there in body only. I don't think I ever had one complete sentence with my father. And Pat didn't either. Not one sentence. I mean, there were so many of us running around. You know, you wasn't sure. Joe, Vito, John, whoever you are. And that's what we've got. There were so many. I know some of you have done that. If you've got a number of kids, you forget their names. And sometimes you forgot who we were, his son and daughter. But God will never forget who you are. He knows your name. And he knows your needs. Hosea 4:6, I shared this the other night, but it's so important. That my people perish for lack of knowledge. Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief of the knowledge that's available to us, we're not getting all that we need. We need to stand up. We need to be bold. We need to change. That's why, as I said in the beginning of the message, that we're going to change. The church must change. It can't keep going on the course that it's going on.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.